This is the Dr. Touch podcast. Episode 5, Advent Calendars. Welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Touch podcast. Here are the news. Apple acquires Lala. The term Lala Land is a nickname for Los Angeles, but in this context, Apple is not purchasing a city. They are adding a streaming music service startup to their portfolio. Their concept is to not sell your song for a dollar, but to let it stream indefinitely for 10 cents. This is generally seen as a move towards iTunes in the cloud. Maybe next summer you will be able to listen to any song, anytime, anywhere, and no longer have to purchase and download songs in the iTunes online store. Apple quietly adds a new CPU option to their Mac Pro line. 3.33 MHz quad-core Nehalem. This gives your code compiling an additional speed edge. Though I don't know anybody who actually develops on a Mac Pro. If you do, let me know. Oh, and there are new storage options for the XSurf as well. All of these things are most of interest for graphic artists and video producers. We developers stick with the MacBook, Mac Mini or new iMac we ordered on Black Friday. Wolfram Alpha has taken flak for the high price of their iPhone app. $50 is really a bold price, but it seems they still get enough customers. Now the iPhone-friendly mobile version is no longer available. Instead, you see a friendly suggestion to purchase the app. Seems that this is supposed to drive even more people to shell out serious money for a single app. Well, the app sure is amazing, so if you need to get answers like comparing the GDP per capita of USA, Austria and India, then you understand the high value proposition you're getting here as a customer. As developers, this serves as proof that if you make something more useful than Flashlight 2.0 or a sound button, then you can also charge a higher price. By the way, the answer according to Wolfram is Austria 37,370 per year, USA 41,770 and India 725.76. Apple has revamped the iTunes Connect page where you manage your apps. The new design looks like it is meant to also work well for people who have dozens of apps because at the bottom there is a search form. Also, it's more centered around the various statuses that your app can have. Now the apps are sorted by date of last change of status. Advent calendars are all the rage this year. VIEDA, the German iPhone Developers Association, launched appsforsales.de and an iPhone app that tells you 3 apps a day with 50% discount. In parallel to this, Blacksmith Games also launched a web-based advent calendar called Appvent Calendar. Their offering only includes games, but all of them are free on the day they are presented. So you should definitely bookmark both sites. There are a dozen more free games in it for you and 30 more price-reduced apps to check out. Speaking of calendars, Ryan Wade of uniqueapps.com thinks that 24 windows on an advent calendar are not enough. To top that, he announced that he will be doing 365 video reviews, one per day, throughout 2010 on his site appcalendar.com. There is no content on the site yet, but there is a small form where you can enter name, email and app name to be put on the waiting list. Ryan promises a ton of exposure to all the apps reviewed. There's no information yet about pricing. At the moment, the AppsFire AppStar Awards are underway. Of more than 100 entries, the 25-people jury pre-selected 35 finalists, 10 games, 10 entertainment, and 15 utilities and other. The apps had to be presented by sending in a 30-second video. The category winners, 3 in total, will be presented at the LeVEP conference next week, December 9th. Winners will get $1,500 and a free marketing campaign. To have a look at all the contestants and form your own opinion, go to video.appsfire.com. A bit of disclosure here. Dr. Touch has a small stake in the competition as well. The finalist app Baby Bubbles by Michael Kay contains several components that I custom crafted for this app. Measure strip to enter measurements via a sliding scale, bubble view technology and chart NG, also called chart Next Generation. A highly customizable charting class that supports interface rotation, pinch to zoom, endless scrolling, and a multitude of styles. So you'd make Mike K and myself happy if you could show your support by going to the app's fireside and give Baby Bubbles your thumbs up. 30 seconds is what's generally known as the elevator pitch. That's the kind of mini presentation you can make to somebody while riding on an elevator together and win him over. You can see from the contestants' videos that it can be hard to sum up your app's features in such short time, especially when there's so much to show. But in any case, it's a great exercise that I can recommend to you before you start coding. If you cannot explain your app within 30 seconds or less, then you might have too much in there. Or you might have to speak faster. Or search for a narrow enough niche market where not most of your customers suffer from AADS, App Attention Deficit Syndrome. Lately, it has become much easier to get a Google Wave account. I've already seen people pair Wave invites with promo codes just so that they seem more attractive. Wave is great to work on a feature list for your next app if you're working together with multiple people, because you can add documents simultaneously. If you have no Wave account yet, just tell me and I'll nominate you. I still have 24 invites left. Mac tip. When I moved to Snow Leopard, I found one thing annoying. You might have seen this yourself. If you download a Mac app from the internet and then execute the installer, it would go through the first dialogs, but then hang on a screen saying preparing X. A reboot would allow this to go right through. Jens on Twitter told me the solution, which you never would have guessed. Quit the iPhone simulator. Yeah, you heard me right. A package installer cannot continue installing a Mac app while the sim is running. Weird, but it works. Performance tip. I spent the past 2 days researching how I can make my app sales faster to launch. I already have around 600 reports in my database, and loading just the header information would take around 5 seconds on my iPhone 3GS, 10 seconds on an iPhone 2G. That's not just annoying wait time. 3 users already told me that the app crashes now during start. The reason we figured out was that LaunchD automatically kills any app that takes longer than 20 seconds to start. Apple calls this the watchdog timer, and it might bite you. I experimented quite a bit, but then I found something really astonishing. I had a sudden inspiration to cache the report headers into a text file. So when the app terminates, I'm writing all the report headers into a file, and to save time, I'm gzipping it. When starting the app, instead of going to the database, I'm reading the cache file and building the table in memory out of the data. The whole process now takes like a tenth of a second as opposed to several seconds. So the whole launch process on my 3GS with more than a year worth of data is now at least twice as fast, 6 seconds instead of 12. And even on 3G, it's only slightly slower, around 7 seconds. Another Twitter user told me that he's loading 360,000 records in under a second this way. The iPhone is faster unpacking the data in memory than it is loading the same amount of data uncompressed. So my performance tip for you is this. If you have a large chunk of data, even if you have a master copy in a SQLite database, it still might pay to do caching to flat file if you cheese a bit. So that's the end of this show. I'm still looking for a sponsor who might be willing to advertise for his own app during the new section of this podcast. If you are interested, just drop me an email to oliver@drobnik.com. So have a nice day, and may the watchdog never bite you.